today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
They just take it in. They do not express themselves. They take it in and it just builds and it builds and it builds. And you don't know it's building. You don't realize it's building until one day it comes out in an explosion of anger. It comes out in total bitterness toward a person. I can't even look at them. I don't even like them. I'm disgusted with them. And it happens slowly but surely as you allow that to build up in your heart towards somebody. And so letting it fester into a resentment is one approach that some take. Today, Pastor Troy teaches us how to work through conflict following the instructions that our Master gave us in Matthew 18. We will learn that being passive is not an option because that gives the chance for unresolved issues to fester. However, Jesus is clear that we should be quick to forgive and have a heart that seeks restoration. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 15, with today's study.
Jesus came to reconcile men back to God. So there's this whole idea of reconciliation. And that's what Jesus came to do, to reconcile men back to God. However, we have to admit that as men, we don't just need to be reconciled back to God. We sometimes need to be reconciled back to each other. We duke it out. We have our struggles. We offend. And so we need to figure out how do we handle this very odd situation? Because it can be very uncomfortable for both parties. The one who's been offended and the one who's done the offending. And sometimes there's a confusion about who that is. Who's been offended and who's done the offending. The enemy loves to take miscommunication, offenses, sin. He loves to take all of that and, like little grenades, throw it into the midst of the relationship of especially believers. Any relationship that where two individuals will tear each other down, but especially amongst believers. He loves to take every opportunity to tear down and destroy relationships. He uses you. He uses you to throw those grenades. Sometimes an unnecessary comment because in your heart you want to throw a punch. Whatever it may be, he uses you and I, or he tries to use us. So sometimes we're the reason for the offense, but sometimes we're the offended. And so that we don't embrace his work of tearing each other down, we need to be aware. One, that we're not fighting against another person. We have an enemy who's trying to destroy the relationship between you and that other person or those other people. There's an enemy who wants to tear down all relationships. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. And for our own spiritual well-being, we need to be aware of these things that we're going to learn today so that we can rightly mend and reconcile relationships when we find offense. Ephesians 4:26 through 27 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." In other words, don't just let it go, as so many do. But it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed immediately. Jesus talked about true greatness, which is what we've covered over the last several weeks. Humility is a sign of true greatness in the kingdom of heaven. Holiness, caring that you might stumble others, that's a sign of true greatness in the kingdom of heaven. And then having a heart for the lost, caring about the lost, caring about children, that's a sign, that's a heart that's great in the kingdom of heaven. We learn that we are not to stumble others. That the Lord is very adamant. Do not. He says it's better to have a rope tied and be strapped to a millstone and drown in the depths of the greatest portion of the sea than to be one who is a stumbler of others, especially his little ones, children. And so he made it very clear, don't be a stumbler. But what happens? What do you do when you're the one who's offended? As a Christian, what do you do? Especially if it's another Christian who might stumble you or offend you. Well, we're going to talk about that today. Today, Jesus teaches us how to respond to being offended or hurt. And listen, it's not passive. It's active. So let's look at what Jesus says we ought to do. Verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. In the same sort of teaching, where Jesus is addressing greatness in the kingdom of heaven, he's also giving us guidelines. It's like one conversation or one subject leads to another subject. And he's saying, look, there's an enemy that stumbles. And the way to maintain greatness is to maintain relationships rather than letting the enemy bring you down, destroy you. You cannot be great in the kingdom of heaven if you can't handle being offended, because it's going to happen. And so here's how you maintain now true greatness in the kingdom of heaven. You're not passive, but you approach the one by whom you've been offended. You go to them, just you and them. That's it, no others. According to these verses, there's a process to follow. We need to listen carefully, because most Christians don't follow the Lord's direction here. Most do one of a few things. One, they let things fester. They just take it in. They do not express themselves. They take it in, and it just builds and it builds and it builds. And you don't know it's building. You don't realize it's building until one day it comes out in an explosion of anger. It comes out in total bitterness toward a person. I can't even look at them. I don't even like them. I'm disgusted with them. And it happens slowly but surely as you allow that to build up in your heart towards somebody. And so letting it fester into a resentment is one approach that some take. Talking about it to others. I've been offended. They go to their friends. They go to their peers. They go to anyone who will listen and tell how they've been offended, how they've been wronged, how they've been violated. That's another approach. Maybe it's the venting approach or the misery loves company approach. I don't know. Others choose what would look like the more noble approach. It's definitely the one that causes the least problems. And that is, I am going to forgive them in my heart. I forgive them in my heart. I'm moving on. I'm just going to let bygones be bygones. I'm just not going to deal with it. And I'm going to forgive them in my heart. The problem is, you can't really do that. It's hard. Because there are too many questions left unaddressed. You forgive them in your heart, but then you go down the line and you think of something different. Now they're unforgiven again. Now there's bitterness. Now there's anger again, because you thought about a new angle. And so it continues to come up. It continues to tear down. And it's very difficult. In some cases, we have to. We have to forgive that way, because the person dies or they're out of our life. We don't know where they're at, which often makes it easier to forgive. Then you can move on, right? Because they're not in your life. You don't see them. But we're talking about people that you're going to see. You're going to be around. You're going to hear. You're going to still have to at least run into at times. What do? You approach them. The first thing that you need to do is privately go to that person who has offended you, and not to anyone else. You go, well, for one reason, to be fair, so that they can clearly be made aware that they have offended you or stumbled you or hurt you. The purpose is not to vent or to go to them like, I'm mad, you did this to me, and to be accusatory and to attack them. That's not the right approach, because you're not going to restore any relationship with that kind of tactic or approach. They're going to get defensive and they're going to lash back. They're not going to care about whether they were right or wrong. They're just going to defend their turf in that case, their stand, because perhaps they weren't completely wrong. And so the purpose is not to go and win an argument, but the purpose is to restore a right relationship where you can move on with complete understanding. You can't go angrily. You can't be at the height of anger when you go and do this. You can't even be at the height of your emotional frustration where I need to vent. I'm so emotional, I've got to do this. You've got to chill out, calm down, and pray and seek the Lord. And at the right time, when your heart is in the right place, when there's a spirit of meekness and gentleness, then you go. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Because we can be tempted to get into our flesh. We can be tempted to go and to argue. We can be tempted, though they may be the bad guy, to go and to be the bad guy. And that's not what we want to be. The word restore that is used here in Galatians is the picture of mending a broken bone. Go and restore. So you can kind of get the picture of what kind of gentleness and mercy and patience are required in this process. It is a broken situation. It is very fragile. It is very uncomfortable. And it takes faith to enter into this kind of restoration and reconciliation. To say, hey, I've taken offense or I've been offended by something. And the sooner you do it, the better. Otherwise, you've got all of these arguments that aren't even true, that aren't even part of the equation, that you've manufactured in your own mind, that they have no clue. They're blindsided by all this stuff that isn't even real. Because you've built it up in your own mind. You've imposed it. So the sooner the better that you approach just you, just the one who's offended. Communication is so important. We mess communication up so often with miscommunications, misunderstandings. You know, most marriages, the arguments are miscommunication. And you can solve a lot of those by getting on the same page, discovering the goal, where we're headed. You both have the same goal, but you're miscommunicating about the process or what's going on right now. And if you could just work through those and realize that you're talking about the same things, you could get over a lot of that. You communicate because, one, they may not know how you feel. They may not know that you're offended or have been offended or took offense. You also go to them because there may have been a miscommunication that can be easily resolved once you talk about it again. Or, now check this one out, it might be good for you to communicate and approach them because there may be some things that you're wrong about. You were not right. You assumed. I went over a little thing with my kids about assuming. One of the great fallacies in human thinking is assumptions. Some more than others. The more logical your mind, the more it seems you assume. You already draw conclusions, and so that's why you can have really dysfunctional relationships or not many relationships at all, because you're assuming so many things in there. Everyone's your enemy. Everyone's out to get you. You're assuming things that are not true, that are not even said or in the equation. So you could be wrong, and when you talk to others, it can help to clear things up. If you resolve it at this stage, then you've gained your brother, and nothing spreads. You've kept sin in check. There's no unnecessary damage which happens with the others. If that doesn't resolve anything, then, again, for your heart, for your own heart, you need to continue the process of seeking restoration. And you need to take the second step. Verse 16. "But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established." Step two is to go to another or a couple of other mature believers, not your clan, not your posse, but two mature, maybe neutral parties. And you talk to them and you get them involved in the situation. Not to gang up on the person, but so that they can help verify, confirm, be witnesses, maybe clarify certain things as they hear. They can look at things like, okay, let me hear the story, and they can consider, should there be an apology? Is there sin? Is it really sin? Or are you taking things out of whack? Is there miscommunication? what was said. They can put all the facts together and help be on the same page and get you on the right page. It gives accountability not just to you, but also as you approach that person, to both parties as you discuss the disagreement. Talking to others gives insight. Because the truth is, we are very prone to seeing things our way and only our way. And that's a problem. Because none of us are perfect. And so our way is not always right or completely right. A simple argument. Blue is the best color in the world. No, red is the best color in the world. And then you're fighting about something and you're both right. You like blue, you like red, but you're both wrong too because they're not the best color in the world. There are many opinions about that. Many of our fights are not over what's true. They're over our opinions. James told us that. You guys fight because you want things your way. You want what you want. Truth, that's an easier one to resolve. But when we come to opinions, that's when the fight is on. The gloves are off. And we want what we want. We want things our way. That's why God establishes order. So that there can be a final say. He establishes order in the home. He establishes order in the church. There's order in the workplace. There's order in the world. So that there, we, if we are in disagreement, I like red, I like blue, there is a hierarchy established by God that says, okay, we're going this way then. Since we can't agree, since we can't resolve it this way with opinion, here's what we can do. And he gives us clear order. Talking to others is good for insight and for resolution, but you don't do that step first. You must go to the person. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Some? No, all of them. Love covers them rather than broadcasts them. If the people that you approach feel that the cause is right, then you go as a group now so that they can, or together, you can win the offender with witnesses. See, these guys don't become your posse to jump on this guy or this girl, this other person. They become witnesses to the situation. And this is an Old Testament principle. God established this early on when he knew there would be conflict among men. And he said, one witness in Deuteronomy 19:15, one witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. Because we go to war, me against that person, and it's an opinion. And here's what we do. We don't go and try to resolve it. I gain my group, he gains his group, and we have a fight. We have a battle. We have camps. We have division. And the right approach is to come together and to discuss the differences and to see maybe there is no unity. Maybe there is something that's been misunderstood. But to resolve it at that level. And so when these witnesses come together, they're going to establish the testimony. Is it right? What's actually been said? That way, it's not just one person who goes to the pastor or one person who goes to that religious leader or spiritual person and gives his side of the story or her side of the story, which is what happens so often. One thing I've learned as a pastor, hearing any story, when I hear one side, I don't put all my eggs in the basket. Because you never know what the other side is, what the other perspective is. It could be a total miscommunication. It could be that this person always overamplifies things. So you have to be able to listen to both sides. And in this case, they come, others have heard, others are involved, and they go and they hear so that when they go to the establishment or the church, they can say, yes, we are witnesses to this. This is what was said. Yes, they're clearly wrong. We've evaluated, and this is the case. They can bring scriptural support. But the goal in talking to these who will come alongside you or help you is not to gossip, is not to start spreading or bashing the news, but still you're working toward reconciliation, a right relationship. You're still trying to restore that which was broken. Because you both want to come to the place of agreeing on truth. so that you can walk in unity that way. So, verse 17, if they don't receive even that counsel, and if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So what started as a private problem, a private offense, has now become visible to the church. Now, this is not saying start telling it to everybody in the church. And it doesn't mean, pastor, I need to come up and tell my brother offended me. I took two people to him and now I need to tell the church. This is not saying broadcast it that way. It's saying go to the leadership, those who have authority to make decisions in the church. Go to them. Because the last thing that you want to do is to come into an assembly like this with a complaint about somebody else and to turn this into a grumbling session. Every Sunday, we'll spend the first 15 minutes. Well, Brother John has some offenses to share this week. And Brother James said, he did this and he did that. And I went to this and now I'm going to the church. Because we have new believers. We have those from the outside who are coming in. And all they need to do, all we need to do is turn this into the Geraldo or Oprah or your whatever shows out there now where they're just complaining about each other. Oh, we'd grow as a church. I'm sure we'd grow as a church. Oh, man, they've got some awesome. They were throwing chairs the other day, man. It was great, man. Great service. But that's not what the church is about. So what he's saying is you need to go to the leadership. You need to go to the church and voice your complaint, voice the problem or the offense. Church discipline is a ministry that has been kind of neglected today in this really private world where everyone seems to think, who are you to tell me what to do? I can go wherever I want to go. I can do whatever I want to do. Church discipline has been overlooked for the sake of filling up the seats. We don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to put someone out. We don't want to take a stand because someone's in sin. Or someone is causing others to stumble. Well, let's just let them cause. What's the damage they could do? Maybe we lose 10, 20%. We need to continue to exercise church discipline. Jesus teaches it here. And Paul enforces it often throughout his letters, when you read his letters. To the Corinthians, Paul said, put the unrepentant brother out of the fellowship. He had been caught in sin. They were boasting about the sin, claiming to be that loving church, apparently. We're loving. We don't judge. We don't talk about sin. You've been judged? Not here. And it's true. We should not be judging. Someone walks in the door. Wow! I can't believe that's immodest, and that's this, and that's that. Get out of here. Because we need to grow. We need to learn the Word of God. But when someone comes in, and especially a brother, we're talking about a brother in the Lord, someone who claims to be a Christian, and they are living in a way, maybe they're watching a pornography, or they're using language that's very offensive to some. And others are coming up with those complaints, and you talk to them, and their attitude is, hey, this is who I am. And then that person, you might have to say, look, then you need to go find a fellowship that acts like that. Because we want this to be a place where people are safe and secure, where we can learn the Word of God without having to close their ears or worry about what somebody's going to say. This is that kind of place. This is the church. We want to keep it holy. And so they were to put that brother out because whenever sin is allowed to stay in a place, and it happens in the culture, when we allow sin and corruption to continue to stay in our homes, stay in our places, it influences.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper, and deeper, I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to the church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.